There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Do you want to boost the economy like Taylor Swift? Do you want to run a business empire like Rihanna? Intuit is the financial platform that helps everyday people prosper. Intuit helps you take control of your finances through products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. Whether you're trying to manage your money or trying to run a business, Intuit gives you the confidence to take control of your finances so you can live your best life. Intuit has helped 100 million people live their best financial lives. Visit Intuit.com, I-N-T-U-I-T.com to start living yours. Let's get into it.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that
culture? Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Getting tactile.
Getting tactile. We're touching.
Yeah.
I have to say happy birthday to my dear sister.
And thank you for saying that.
What do you mean?
I'm just
of
saying.
Course.
I'm just thinking.
Oh, you're receiving it.
I was just receiving it in a real way. And
of course.
I want you to know I'm in my receiving era, and that, that's not just because of more bottoming over the past year.
Amazing. You did say this last night. We went to the SZA concert.
Healing.
Cathartic and healing.
Best visuals I've ever seen at a concert.
Pisces Ash. Okay. Yeah. So we were literally. We met up before, and then we were talking. Some of us were like
girlfriends.
Like girlfriends do. Yeah. Like girlfriends.
Girlfriends, they talk. It's actually Real Culture number 30.
Girlfriends, they talk. And we were saying, you know, I bet SZA's, I bet the staging of this will be like, well, like none of us really knew going in what it was. Like
yeah.
Someone was like, I think I saw a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. I got spoiled on TikTok. It was like, there's a lighthouse involved. I was
yes.
like, oh, of course, the theme is like SOS. It's like.
Very Save Our Ship vibes.
Save Our Ship.
Which
so,
is iconically SOS. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I thought it was just because the Morse code, it's so it's like the easiest, simplest Morse code.
Oh, I'm here to tell you.
It's Save Our
it
Ship.
It really stands for Save Our Ship. So that's essentially what they're typing into Morse code. That's what
Amazing.
The message is, Save Our Ship.
Oh my God. I learn something every day from you.
That's not true.
That's true.
I feel this is the first thing you've learned from me in a very long time.
We're gonna loop back on this idea later because I learned something huge from you that had to do with our guest.
Okay.
Just the show Titanic itself.
Yes,
but we'll
yes.
get to that later. But basically, we were talking, we were like, you know, I bet SZA just comes out and just takes the mic and sings. And that's all, the songwriting is so strong that
It
could have been just that, right?
No.
I don't think this has been done. Or at least I haven't seen it in like the arena concerts I've been to, the few that I've been to, the handful I've been to. She does, spoiler alert, she does like projector, like LEDs as a cage. She has 4 walls of LEDs that go up and down and then they move the set pieces in and out.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
It was incredible. It was giving environment.
Yes.
Atmosphere. It was not, it was interactive.
Yes.
And it was telling a story. It was really, really incredible. It's like, I just have to compliment the vision. To say nothing of the live vocal.
Honey.
To say nothing of the choreo.
Of the wardrobe.
Of the wardrobe. Of the commitment of everyone on stage. And you know what I loved? What I loved is that everyone on stage is living for SZA
yeah.
and the music.
Yep.
And it's like, there's not a phoned in
no.
moment.
No.
And I had what I would call a cathartic emotional release.
Do you remember what songs?
Well, let's just say.
F2F, that
F2F
whole
F2F was amazing,
stadium,
but we knew it would be. Nobody Gets Me, that was a full moment. And I swear she pointed at me.
I swear she pointed at me.
Okay.
When she was on the boat.
So that's just the power of SZA. You feel as though she's pointing at you. She's sort of like one of those, what do you call it?
She's one of those paintings.
She's like one of those paintings. It's actually Real Culture number 50.
SZA,
she's like one of those paintings. You know what, bitch?
Bitch, what?
We have to be in person.
It's so different.
I have something to say.
Oh my God.
I just want to say that
I'm back.
And I feel sorry for these girls.
Matt Rogers,
I'm taking an apartment in New York,
is going fully bi-coastal and is taking an apartment in New York. A friend of our guest, I believe.
Yes. Well, I don't want to blow up anyone's spot too much, but like, yes, it has fallen into my lap. This sort of amazing, too good to be true. But I even said to him today when I checked out the apartment, I was like, this feels too good to be true, but in a way that will work out.
That's the best.
You know what I mean?
Too good to be true, but in a way that will work out. I just got chills.
I am galvanized. I'm excited. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to return to New York.
I could cry.
And I am thrilled about it. And just even being in the presence of my, let's just say it here and now, sister,
period.
But to continue the sentence.
Ellipsis.
Makes me feel three periods. It's actually roller coaster number 70.
Ellipsis. Three periods.
Not more, not less.
No.
I hate it
when they do two periods.
Go off quickly.
This is not quite, I don't think so, honey level. It actually might be, but I'll save it. But an ellipsis is three periods, period.
If you've done two periods, what you've done is confuse.
And if you're in four territory, if you're four and above, regulate yourself.
Yeah, unless you're doing it for comedic effect.
I don't even think.
I support comedians, I do.
I do.
Can I just quickly say before we bring in the guests, we recorded an entire episode of this podcast, Las Culturistas, with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. That was lost to, I'm going to just say...
Hotel Wi-Fi.
Sydney Hotel Wi-Fi. And I just want to quickly say, I had a great time in Sydney. There's so much that happened. I saw Kylie Minogue. Danny Minogue came out. I went on a Kylie Minogue boat. That was incredible. I did so many things. But I just really think it's important that I say one thing from the trip, which is I want to shout out Lyndon Watts.
Lyndon Watts.
Who is an iconic performer in Australia that is a reader and reached out. He actually won the Sydney Theater Award for
playing Aaron Burr in Hamilton in Australia. I would have killed to see.
Just amazing. And he invited me to the Sydney Opera House. They were doing a symphony of Disney songs.
Perfect.
And it was just like, wow, like exactly what I wanted to go see.
Yep.
Lyndon is an incredible singer and performer, and they're taking it on the road. And I think they're doing it on the Gold Coast right now. Like, if you can see this, go see it.
Oh, you would
and
love the Gold Coast, honey.
I know. And you know where I went to Bondi Beach,
so I did
get some coasting.
Come on.
My skin, she's tan.
She's tan. You came into the room last night, and you were very kissed by the sun.
You know, I had a moment last night where I went into the bathroom, and I looked at myself in the mirror,
and I said,
I was on mushrooms, and I said, you know what, girl, pick yourself up, girl. I pointed at myself in the mirror. I said, girl, it could look at
we
you.
We can't even
look at you.
We can't.
Don't,
even,
you're gonna be sad. Don't be sad. And now I'm not sad.
I blame the SZA
and the mushrooms.
But you were. I will write a book about you someday. I will be your biographer.
And with that, I love you, sister.
I love you,
and
sister.
And this is my best fucking
friend. I will never
stop
loving you.
Oh my God. Never.
Until
your dying day, I will be the last thing you see.
I pray.
In a world where I outlive you, which I don't think is going to happen. You're younger.
God, we can't even talk about death right now.
Let's not talk about death.
Let's not talk about death.
Because actually, our guest today stars in a show about death. In many ways.
And life.
And love. The story of Titanic is one of death, life, and love.
Rule of Culture number 1912, which is the year that it sank.
Rule of Culture number 1912. Titanic is a story about death, life, and love.
Our guest is someone who I said earlier before you came in here, Matt, has sort of set tent poles for the culture at the most critical periods.
Yes. Yes, she has.
She has. I am willing to admit, before we bring her on,
admit it,
that we did not see the famed, legendary Colors of the Wind video, which every BFA graduate between the years 2009 and 2022 has seen.
Yeah.
I don't have a BFA. You do.
I have a BFA, but in dramatic writing. Which is something...
Musical theater BFAs. Every musical theater BFA from the years 2009 to 2022 has seen this video, Colors of the Wind.
Yeah, people think because of my musical theater personality that I have a BFA in musical theater, but I only have the personality of a musical theater BFA.
Right. And dramatic writing BFA, there's a little bit more typing.
Well, I'm the most exciting dramatic writing BFA of all time.
It's true.
That's roller coaster number six.
Matt Rogers
is the most exciting dramatic writing BFA of all time.
Our guest is
Iconica Jones.
Iconica Jones.
Could very well be her name.
You've seen her in Special on Netflix. You've seen her in maybe Sister Act in the original Broadway cast. Mm. She was in a very straight production of South Pacific, she just told me.
But currently. Hashtag currently. Starring as Celine Dion in, I mean, we said it on this podcast and we say it a lot, the best show in New York.
The best show
you could
in New
see,
York.
Titanic.
The funniest show in New York, period.
Point blank.
But like, to say nothing of the singing and the writing, the production, every element of it.
Everything about it will make you feel so good. And I tell everyone that I talk to, they have to go see Titanic. And then it was as if fate struck one night. It was as if fate struck one night, Bo, when I was on Late Night with Seth Meyers.
Oh, I loved that.
The program that comes actually right after The Tonight Show.
Right.
Every night, except for the weekend. And the musical guest was Titanic. And I said, I know that's
right. I know. In the words of Brooke Ashley and Cardi B, I know
that's
right.
By the way, Brooke Ashley, her recaps have been popping off.
I've
There's
been watching
so much,
every single week her
every
recap.
Every week. And also, I will say, I have to let the readers down. We don't watch Vanderpump.
But we will start.
I'm going to start.
Heidi at work is like, I'm going to start watching Vanderpump because of all this drama now. I'm like, me too.
Can we always call Heidi Gardner Heidi at work?
Heidi at work. She needs to come back on, by the way.
Period. I want her and Ego together.
Yes.
Romantically. This is such a moment in time.
We love her so much.
Oh my gosh.
She is a true paragon of talent.
So pour yourself some champagne, get a glass of red wine, and sit back and enjoy, because
we don't have a minute to spare.
This please, is in the words of Brooke Ashley.
Please welcome
Marla Mendell! Here we go.
Oh my God. I am literally crying tears.
No.
Don't be crying tears.
No one has ever introduced me like that. Well, I don't deserve that.
Yes, you do.
See, this is that. People often say that about themselves. You know what I say? Get on mushrooms and go to This Is a Concert.
You're right.
Look
you're
at
right.
yourself
I'm
in the mirror.
I'm so jealous. Your Receive-a-sons?
Oh,
Receive-a-sons.
A Receive-a-sons.
Oh my God.
Receive-a-sons title of them. Holy hell. Are you receiving?
Right now I am. Are you kidding? I just received that introduction.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God. Everyone here is receiving.
Oh, my God.
And that means that there's giving happening.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
It was
of that concert.
It was wonderful. It was a wonderful concert.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean,
I saw Instagrams, too. And yeah. I was like, God, what I would give to be on shrooms.
It was what I would give now. Yeah. And I mean, also, like, she came out at the end and, you know, she's like a New York local. Mm-hmm. And just
a New York local hire.
Yeah. A New York local hire. She's a New York local hire. They got her for real cheap.
Yeah.
But
she came out. She said, it's so meaningful to be in this room. Yeah. I grew up in Jersey. Woo. Cheers. And then she said, I think this is really funny. She said, I went to school near here.
Yes, I went to school near here.
Which we can all say.
I
went to school near here.
You went to NYU, right?
I was at NYU dramatic writing graduate, and I'm the most exciting dramatic writing BFA of all time.
Yeah, okay. I got that part. Where did you go to college?
I was NYU.
NYU?
Oh my God. Is that where you guys became?
That's where we met.
Wow. Where we first sort of encountered
each
other.
That's right.
But
that's
you
right.
were not dramatic writing.
I was not dramatic writing.
You were just pure drama.
I was. I wish.
You were just giving drama.
I was
there
giving drama.
There were times where you gave drama. You gave drama sometimes.
When did I give drama?
I don't know. Like, I guess I remember.
I didn't ever give drama.
You really were not the drama.
I did. The only thing I did tangentially related to NYU theater was I was the voice of God in our friend Colin Cortopassi's ETW senior piece.
I guess he's sort of talking about giving drama in terms of an acting thing, and right. I'm very much talking about being the drama in terms of like things happening.
I wasn't even doing that.
No, you really weren't, but I just knew you as, so I was, get this, there was a time in Bowen Yang and I's friendship where I was closer with other people. I was closer with like Billy Domino, your roommate,
that's right.
Than you. And so I would sort of hear both sides of like minor roommate conflict.
Sure.
You of course. Like, mean? Oh, like this person didn't do the dishes that night.
Right,
kind of thing.
Being in the drama.
Now, I also went to drama school and every single person hooked up.
Yeah.
I ask you if that happened?
No.
Amongst our community? No.
No. And there was crossover. Oh, I mean, we talked about this when Stephanie Hsu was on. There was like, there was a fun little like, Matt was in the sketch group. I was in the improv group. And there were like a couple of fun little dalliances across. There was crossover.
Love it.
And also intra-group dating as well.
Yes. Intra-group dating. I mean, but with the thing with like being in drama school and the fucking that happens in there, that certainly was happening within NYU Tisch all the time.
Oh,
and where did you go to school? Tell the readers.
Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music.
Is that the one? It sounds like one nationwide. Of the horniest universities
it's,
I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's one. Yeah, it's like the Harvard or Yale of musical theater in the butt crack of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah,
we called it gay sleepaway camp. Every yes. single yes. person was gay, and if you weren't, you were. Did you have gay by May? The phrase.
Like, oh, I yes, and May. I think you know what was really frustrating. I was gay by May.
Were you? Oh, did you come in straight?
I came in straight.
Love.
Came in
straight.
And then iconic.
You couldn't straight. Wait until June.
I told, yeah, no, I couldn't. Uh-huh. What happened was, so I account being gay by May as if you tell anyone.
Right.
And I told two girls on my floor, shout out to Alexandria Toko and Katie Vincent.
Ugh.
And
love them.
Those names.
They were fabulous. But I told them that I was gay around, let's call it February, March. So I was gay technically by May.
By May. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
It was a huge step forward. I think I needed to come out.
You needed to come out. But you really came out before I did.
Well, that's loaded.
It's loaded. There's a lot of context there that's missing.
Bowen Yang sort of weaved in and out of gay.
Same.
Really?
You?
Yeah. Oh, I came into college. I was like, I'm here, I'm queer, and nobody else is. So I'm going back in the closet. Yeah. I'm now bisexual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm going to try this out on the tour of the Drowsy Chaperone.
No!
Wow.
Now, were you Sutton or Beth Level?
I was neither. I was a part that no one remembers named Kitty.
Kitty!
Yeah. She's like the stupid one. Yeah, and it was my first thing. And I was like, this is my first national tour and my first dabble in bisexuality.
And it went okay?
It went exactly how you think it would go. Where I was like, I dated this guy and I was like, I've never been more bored in my entire life. We're also in Utah. This is the most boring episode of my life. I got to get out of both of these things right now.
Straight men Utah. What is this? One of the bad scenes from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City?
Yeah, exactly.
What is this? A scene with John Barlow and Seth Marks talking it out?
Wow. This is the thing that I quickly wanted to bring up. There are videos of Marla.
Oh God.
With Brian Jordan Alvarez.
Yes.
Oh.
That are just so fucking funny.
Some of the best.
But this is the first time I saw you. And I was like, who is that?
Oh,
it's a video
God.
Called, it's still on YouTube, I believe. It's called How to Tell If Someone's Gay. And it's Marla and Brian are talking. The first line is Brian goes, I'm sure this was an ad-lib, maybe it was written, but Brian goes, and that's how my mom got out of jail. And then Dory Potter walks out as this guy in their apartment building. And Brian's like, oh, that's my neighbor. I always thought he was kind of cute, but I can't tell if he's gay. And then Marla goes, this is so annoying that I'm just like repeating it back
to you. No, please do, because I actually don't remember.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So then Marla goes, I'll find out. Hey, you, come here. And then Dory comes over. What's up? I like your shirt. He goes, oh, yeah? Yeah, it's fun, like fashion. And then Marla goes, yeah, fashion. And then her face drops and she goes, you like that? You gay? Ends the video.
And yes, I was like, okay, that,
you
that.
You gay? Yeah. And then me and my friends, like my friend Andrew Farmer and I would just watch that video over and over all the time and just say that all the time. It was our greeting. We were like, you gay?
You gay?
Like that?
Mm-hmm.
You like that? You gay?
You gay?
I would tell Brian all these stories. There's another one that we did about yogurt. I don't know if you've ever seen
the
that.
The yogurt one is art.
Okay,
Brian's
so,
coming on the show.
Brian's
a
coming
weeks.
On the show.
Oh,
yeah.
Brian is high art.
He's true high art.
Oh, high art.
Yeah.
So yogurt is based on my time in Cincinnati, Ohio at a Kroger's grocery store. I don't know if you've ever been.
Yeah, I've heard of Kroger's.
My friend Jonathan Parks Ramage, maybe you've heard of him.
Yes.
He was checking out yogurt at the grocery store and one of the attendants picks up the yogurt and she's like, what is this? And he was like, it's yogurt. And she looks at it with this knowing smile and she was like, so this is yogurt. Where do you get this? And he was like, in the dairy section. And she was like, I'm going to have to try this out. Thank you so much.
I'm going to try that.
She works in a grocery store.
You don't think that was like a performance piece or something?
If it is, it's performance art.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yes, I'm so sorry.
She was trying to sell it, maybe. That's like part of her job is like to be that woman in the aisle. Hey, have you heard of this? Yogurt? Looks good to me.
That's really good. I don't think it was any of that. I think it was somebody who worked there, never seen or heard of yogurt, seeing it for the first time, genuinely shook by the contents of yogurt, doesn't know where it is in the grocery store.
Oh my, where did you get that? Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you get this? In the dairy section.
And that's all the video is, right?
It's literally a retelling of that. Yeah.
It's 40 seconds long, pre-TikTok, pre-Instagram, pre-Vine, Brian sitting on the couch, Marla at the fridge, taking out an empty fridge, taking out a yogurt going, what is this?
Yeah, it's the same exact thing.
It's the same exact thing.
It's the same setup.
I think it's a beautiful thing.
It is based
thing.
On a true story. Oh, so my I just God, want to say amazing. That. Yeah.
Okay, so our friend, who I won't name because I don't want to put them on blast. This reminds me of a story that she told where she was at a party with Cate Blanchett.
Love.
She was at a house party with Cate Blanchett. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I love this story.
So our friend is in the kitchen by herself, like making a drink. By herself. Mm-hmm. The door blows open. Cate Blanchett, Academy Award winner Cate Blanchett, Lydia Tarr, pre-Tarr coming
right,
out,
sure.
but uh-huh. earlier last year, storms up to her, gets very close to her face and goes, "Do you know what this is?" And holds up a bottle. It's a bottle of vermouth.
Uh-huh.
And our friend says, "It's vermouth." And Cate Blanchett says, "But how do you know that?"
What?
And our friend says, "Well, it says it on the bottle. It says vermouth." And Cate Blanchett says, "Oh, I can't read that at all." And leaves the kitchen.
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
I think that is such an actorly thing.
Iconica Jones.
And even the person who checked out at the grocery store, that is like a beautiful acting exercise, even just of discovery of like, what is this?
Yeah. You know, like, that's we would have learned that at acting school.
Oh, yeah. How to discover.
What is this? Yeah.
How to discover.
Yeah, how to discover.
Honest discovery is,
what is that?
Yeah.
And even that wasn't that good. But it's so hard to do.
It's so hard.
Honest discovery. First of all, like, okay, so when you had graduated this school, CCMD.
CCM.
CCM.
CCMD.
CCMD.
It's like a disorder. The doctor of musical theater.
CCMD. Like, I can see, like, who'd be really good as the star of CCMD?
CCMD.
Hilary Duff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She'd be amazing.
She'd get it greenlit, for sure.
Yeah.
Hulu is on board.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you feel at the end of CCM, you're like, okay, yes, I'm ready?
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were trained to be musical theater fembot robots.
Assassins.
Wow.
Assassins. I mean, did you feel the same way? I mean, I walked out being like, if I don't get a job in literally 6 months from now, I'm going to SOS, which I thought was shoot on site. I thought SOS was shoot on site. Here I am.
Oh my God.
Choosing violence.
So shook.
Literally.
Yeah.
Honestly, wait, that is shoot on site. No, it is save our ship. We have to get.
Shoot on site is so much better.
Shoot on site is really fun. I'm going to
produce Rebecca. Yeah. Can you confirm? Google. Please confirm whether or not, and then get us back with your findings.
No, I'm sure yours is right. It's not shoot on site.
No, because it would be so me to be like so strong and wrong positive that it's save our ship, and then all of a sudden we find out it's shoot on site.
But that was the internal voice literally saying word for word, if I don't get a job in 6 months, I'm going to SOS.
I'm going to SOS. Yeah, I'm literally going to SOS.
Oh, my God.
And then I did it.
Okay.
God damn it.
Yes.
God damn it. Thank you, Becca.
Wow.
Actually, I'm so glad it's not shoot on site. Could you imagine?
Me too, because that's just not energy I like.
No. It's violent.
Shoot on site.
It's full violence. But we came out as violent musical theater robots.
Yeah.
Like, ready to take over New York by storm.
Yeah.
But we were primed to do so.
I mean, but the Colors of the Wind thing is a perfect example of, like, someone singing badly. No, it's not even singing badly. It's Josh Sharp and Aaron Jackson explained it perfectly. It's the game of this is... She makes a choice. Every choice is the wrong one.
Yes.
Yes.
And that is perfect. It's a perfect comedy piece in that way.
What I love about it so much, to be honest, I think it's the best work I have ever done in my entire life.
No, you're doing the best work of your career right now. Every night on Titanic on Off-Broadway.
Thank you so much. But I do think that it was the best work because this was I mean, I'm dating myself, but this was pre-everything, pre-YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this became viral by people emailing to each other.
Yes.
And then it was like a Sasquatch kind of like, who is this woman? So then people thought... People thought that it was a real 40-plus middle-aged woman that was auditioning.
Earnestly doing it.
40-plus, which LOL, I'm pushing that now. But it was a 40-plus woman auditioning for like Disney Cruise Lines. So when I started working at Ellen Stardust Diner.
You
worked at a diner earlier. I did not know it was Ellen Stardust.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ellen Stardust Diner worked there. And so someone one day came up to me and was like, have you heard this woman, this 40-plus-year-old woman auditioning? And I was like, I hate to break it to you, but this is me.
Oh, and that little girl was me. Kamala.
Kamala vibes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was Kamala vibes.
So then what did she turn to stand? Like she was like, oh my God, I'm in the presence of the
Iconica. It was a he. Uh-huh.
So she turned to stand.
She was working at Ellen Stardust. She turned to stand and then people would make me, because you'd have to wake up, you have to start singing at 7 a.m.
Oh my
God. It's like they crack
Lord
the whip.
Oh God.
So on the morning shifts, I would sing Colors of the Wind as that voice. And the tourists would be like, what in the actual hell is going on?
Listen, we're here at 7:30 a.m. Yes. for some eggs and some Broadway adjacent yeah. vocals. What is this garbage?
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Oh, oh my God. But Colors of the Wind truly is, everyone, you must watch it.
Yeah, you have to.
Because I feel like we're the last people who've seen this.
You definitely are.
And we watched it in the Pines too.
We watched it in the Pines.
So isn't that weird? We had never seen it, and like all the entire Fire Island Pines house that we were with, like, was well versed in it.
So they're like, oh, wait, here she goes. The earth is
yeah.
just
yeah,
a dead
yeah, thing. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Who, by the way, and because we were exposed to that, I was so on board immediately with everything about it. They're like, well, you have to go see Titanic. And then I
showed up in the front row.
Yes. I bought my ticket to Titanic that moment.
Wow. Honestly, shout out. Josh
and then,
and
like,
Aaron.
I got back. And I saw Titanic, and I turned to my sister metaphorically, because I don't believe I was physically in the presence,
right.
but I texted you, and I was like, you gotta get down here.
Yep.
Because I knew it would hit hard with you.
And then I went on to Daytix right away.
Wow.
And then Matt and I went, I was like, Matt, do you want to see it again with me? And then it was the hardest I've ever laughed
we
at a show.
We were screaming.
I am so, you don't understand how much that means to me, because I consider you two to be like some of the funniest people I've ever seen.
Stop.
So for you to say that,
it was
just like,
We had the best time.
I will never forget it.
I feel stupid that I've only seen it twice. But then I honestly, okay, so what happened was my parents had come in. I think maybe it was for the Fire Island premiere or something. Something was happening. And they were in town. And I was like, I think I have to take them to a matinee. But then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy you guys tickets, because I feel like if I go again, they're going to be like, no. Like, you can't be back a third time this soon.
You can. What's crazy, I was telling Bowen, it's like a gay football game. There yeah. was a, some yeah. guy yeah. in the there was some very enthusiastic fan in the front row the other day.
Yeah.
And like, when we were all doing the sing-along at the end, he was like, great job. I've seen this 15 times.
It's like Rocky Horror.
It's like Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
I literally just said that.
Yeah,
oh
yeah, yeah.
my God.
Yeah, it's been crazy, because you're never going to see the same show twice.
Yeah,
because
true.
When I did musical theater for like a decade before, yeah. I was telling Bowen this mm-hmm. before the show, before I was like, I can't do this anymore. I got to get out.
Right.
You do the same thing in musical theater 8 times a week. It's too much. Mm. And so now we have this beautiful part where I get to improv and do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And because it's so balls to the wall, yeah. insane, people never know. But you're never going to get the same show twice.
Yeah. That's so funny. I was talking to John Riddle, and he was saying the same thing. Like, he was very disillusioned with the musical theater of it all. Not to speak for him, but like,
no,
I feel like you don't really get the opportunity to do something that feels as alive as this.
Correct.
And that is like, before I saw that show, I remember feeling like I saw Into the Woods and your show, Titanic, concurrently 2 nights in a row. And that was the first time I had felt really excited. Like, well, LOL, it was the pandemic, but I had seen other theater and I was just so, I felt drained, because I came in like really excited and wanting to experience it again, but everything was feeling really stale to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I feel like you don't get the opportunity always to not only see, but perform material that mm-hmm. feels so fun and that the audience is really there with. And it did feel like a great marriage of like great Broadway caliber theater and, you know, comedy
like
you,
comedy.
Especially in that space, which was the old UCB at the time.
Yes,
totally.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yeah.
like, but it felt like that perfect marriage that honestly made me fall in love with the type of comedy I wanted to do.
Yep.
You know, that we did back in the day, because
yep.
Bowen and I did musical comedy kind of exclusively there for like
pretty
a
much.
Few years.
Yeah.
Musical comedy is like the best kind of comedy. And in my opinion, if you get it right, like there's nothing more transcendent than that.
Yeah.
Because it's like the art of singing combined with comedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we always said of Titanic, we were like, we want it to be like a musical SNL. Like, we want it to be like hard
yeah.
comedy.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that made it successful is that when we were doing it in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. I moved out to LA. I was like struggling writing for years. And
yeah.
I was like, well, I guess I'm going to wind up at this other dinner theater where I'm going to perform while people are eating French fries and mm-hmm. fish and red sauce.
Right.
And and we wrote this. And I think the beauty of it is that we didn't have producers at the time. So we were like,
yeah.
let's just go balls to the wall. Let's make each other laugh. What is funny to us?
Right.
And so it exceeded all of my expectations when we then took it to New York, to be like, is this funny or is this just like LA funny? Because, you know, there is a difference.
Right.
There
okay.
is.
So, and because you've said this, like, is this just LA funny or is it also New York funny? Like, do you have a sense of like what that difference is now? Or,
well, when we were in Los Angeles, so we were doing all of these movie to musical parodies in LA. So
with
we were
Constantine.
That's where I reconnected with him. We were doing like Devil Wears Prada, True Beverly Hills, Scream. And LA loved it because there's no musical theater in
right,
Los Angeles.
Right.
And so this was very, it was a movie. So everyone from LA could
could get it because it's such a film-based town. Mm-hmm. And there was pop songs and it was kind of like ratchet and grungy. Mm-hmm. And so people loved it. Mm-hmm. But New York is completely different. Yes, there are jukebox musicals, but like there's a high level of taste.
Right.
And, you know, what
it's
people
more discerning.
Actually, exactly.
Yeah.
So when we were, when we started doing Titanic in Los Angeles, I was like, maybe this could work in New York, but we all have absolutely no money. We're so poor. So I asked everyone to fly to New York on their own dime, put themselves up, mm-hmm. do a week of readings in New York just to see if it was like worthwhile and if we could even sell it out. And and we sold it out. And then in that week, David Foster's manager came.
David Foster's manager.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my
so then God. He got David Foster there and Eva Price, the Broadway producer, came. And in like 1 week, everyone, it was like divine intervention.
Wow.
Like the stars aligned, everyone came on board, and we really made it a thing. Yeah.
So is it a thing where, because I have had this question, because you guys, like, for those of you out there who haven't at this point at least Googled it or didn't know already, it is a jukebox musical of Celine Dion's music telling the story of Titanic as if it was from Celine Dion's perspective if she was on the ship.
Correct.
It's completely unhinged and insane, and it is told by Celine Dion songs.
Correct.
So was there any, like, I guess David Foster coming is him being like, okay, how are they using a lot of the songs that I've written?
Correct.
Because he wrote and composed a lot of those.
He wrote a lot of those. So what we had to do is we had a music lawyer come. This is like minutia, but we were doing it in these spaces that had like ASCAP licenses over all the songs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we didn't have to buy the rights to the songs. But when this was becoming a professional thing, when we were going to do it in a theater, then we had to get a music lawyer. And so we did lose a couple of the songs. We lost All Coming Back to Me Now.
I was wondering why that one wasn't there.
I heard that was like the thing.
Because that's Jim Steinman and that was written for Meatloaf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We lost Power of Love because Celine Dion didn't originally sing that.
Wow.
And we lost That's the Way It Is to Anne Juliet, which is the other jukebox, Max Martin.
Which, by the way, I did see Anne Juliet. I liked it very, very much.
I
recommend everyone see Anne Juliet. It's a blast.
Yeah, it's a blast.
Just to give another shout out.
And yet, I never walked away. I never had the thought walking away from the show going, I wish they had sung like that handful of songs.
Nothing's lacking about it. Because I cried
when we lost All Coming Back to Me.
Because that was the original Way Into the World.
Right.
She was like, let's see, what else do I remember?
And such a natural one to one.
Yeah.
So we had to change things and we had to put, thankfully, she has so many iconic hits and they're all so theatrical that we could put anything in there and it would work. But we did have to do like some, you know, jigsaw puzzles with the songs in order to make it work.
Even the ones that feel more B-sidey.
Well, like, I was going to say, like, I rediscovered I Surrender after...
Unbelievable.
That's like maybe my top three Celine Dion songs.
By the way, shout out Kelly Clarkson singing that on American Idol for me first ever hearing that. Like, she sang I Surrender and it was like the top four. And I was like, what the fuck is this song?
It's like, it builds.
Builds.
It builds and builds
yes,
and builds.
It is.
Oh my God.
It is really good. But that even like seduces me.
I
didn't know of it either.
Yeah.
And I consider myself like someone that knows Celine, but I was like, what is this? And then I was like, oh, it seduces me, which you don't think of.
Deep cut.
Yeah. It's a deep cut.
We had The Show Must Go On, which was... Is that Freddie Mercury?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we had that. And then we were like, oh, people are going to be too confused.
Sure.
So, I mean, all of the songs, the fact that we have cleared Beauty, we got Beauty in the Beast.
I know, that's amazing.
That is a wild card.
I know, that's a wild card to me. We got River Deep, and that's in Tina.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, we're not going to get that. Like, there are so many things that I'm shocked that we did get. And I'm so happy that we were able to build a musical because essentially when we first started doing it, we just... took the songs.
Totally.
Yeah.
You were like, let's
do it for fun.
Right.
Not think it. Well, I mean, in the back of my head, I was like, wouldn't this be so fun if it like just became a thing? But, you know, thinking that and then that becoming reality are like so separate. And when it actually does happen, it's just like, it's mind blowing.
What's mind blowing is the bridge between now it being a huge hit and like the story you tell of like you and Constantine just like after a show or at a bar or something, just being like him being like, what if it's like Titanic, but it's a jukebox Celine Dion musical?
We were doing dinner theater in Los Angeles, and it was like after like Scream, and we were like both like a little bit tipsy, and he's like, okay, the next thing that we should do here is Titanic with all Celine Dion songs. Yeah. You'll be Celine.
It's a genius idea. It's one of those ideas that comes along, and you're like, well, that can possibly work.
The muse strikes. Yeah,
the muse strikes.
I can say
Constantine Rizzoli.
Oh yeah,
star.
Love him. So funny and a really, really nice guy.
Of course,
great guy. He says the same about you, by the way.
I love him.
him. Give him my best. I love him so much.
I adore him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Adore he feels him. The same. Well, when he told me that idea, I was like, in my head, I was like, cool, 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 tight, tight, tight. Yeah, yeah, never yeah. gonna happen.
Yeah.
He was like, you'll be Selena. I was like, no, I won't. I was like, this will never happen. We're actors in Los Angeles. We can't get together for lunch, let alone write a musical.
Yeah. Right.
See ya in 5 years.
Right.
Yeah. When we lose touch. And
we lose touch.
And but we just started writing it for fun. It was, and we would write in Constantine's apartment on Monday, literally for fun. This whole thing was
like
out
all
of,
the best things.
Yeah,
just really, being, and it can just be that.
It can, just
and
be
you
fun.
Forget.
I know
you
know.
Forget that it can just be that. Mm. It can just be jamming out.
But at the time, I had no money, completely mm-hmm. unemployed, no prospects. And so I was like, oh, I guess I'll just, and writing, I was writing so much, selling things, but making like no money, just like crumbs. And I was like, oh, I guess I'll just do this thing and I'll just waste a bunch of time on this too. So the fact that what is ironic to me after moving to Los Angeles to be a writer, that the only thing that I've ever gotten up off the ground is a musical.
Uh-huh.
When I left musical theater, it's just so ironic
you.
To me.
It finds you.
Yeah,
it,
yeah, yeah.
It's really, I mean, you're meant to do what you're meant to do, I think.
Yes,
you know?
I agree.
You were at sea and then this like, you know, this thing came.
I was literally at sea.
Literally.
Yes.
Literally at sea, also front runner for
literally
title
at
event.
Sea, yeah. Yes, front runner.
When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. But when we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes!
Hans.
We're all going together, the Lost Cult family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline. You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed. Finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found Framebridge.
I found Framebridge too. Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for where you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
This is the thing that I want to bring up. And the thing about Titanic, and this is probably something that like I took this for granted. We write Iceberg That Sank the Titanic for SNL. I was like, this will be whatever. Who cares? Like this, people might not get this.
Yes, we have to talk about
this. No, very briefly. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm sure. People might not get it, whatever. And then the reception of it, I was like, wait a minute, of course.
Everyone's going to get it. It's monoculture.
But
yeah.
Titanic is like the ultimate monoculture to me. like people all over the world know this front to back. People all over the world know Celine Dion front to back.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like, it's like they're both, Celine and Titanic, the movie, are both kind of doing the same thing separately and together, where it's like this thing that people, that is universally known,
yeah,
and appreciated and loved.
Everyone can put themselves into it.
Yes.
I have Titanic material too. It's
really,
it's really fun. In fact, my first screen test for SNL, I did a Titanic bit, which was this gay guy on the Titanic while it's sinking, telling his friends they should not have booked this cruise.
LOL, that's really funny.
He wanted to be on the Mauritania,
so
which had enough lifeboats and also much better nightlife.
That's really good.
The Titanic is literally sinking and he's so cold.
And then you have one line that's like, because we all own textile mills.
We all own textile mills. We have the money.
We have the money.
I don't know why we're... And because they're in third class because they heard that's where the hot guys were.
That's really good. What I love about Titanic and Celine Dion is that it is a Venn diagram of both, like,
yes,
heteronormative,
yes,
culture,
yes,
and complete camp homosexual culture,
yes,
as well.
Right.
Yes.
And so that's why I think it really touches the lives of truly everybody.
Everybody.
And it was before a time when people were like questioning whether or not that was okay.
Correct.
It was just because, yeah, it was monoculture and it was for everyone, the gays were seeing it and getting the camp of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone will ever forget where they were when she turned around in that fucking hat.
Oh,
and a star had already been,
yeah,
born. Yeah. She's already an Oscar nominee at the point. Like, people knew who she was. That was a superstar moment.
Oh my God.
And notice, I say nothing about Leo. And because for gays, it is
about
her, and it's, yeah, about the song, and it's about all that, and it's a little bit about Twink Leo.
Yeah.
But not really. For the straights, it was.
Leo took over the culture in such a huge, aggressive way that, like, in your queer brain, you're like, okay, but what's the other thing?
Yeah, like, what's fringe for
yeah,
me
yeah,
here?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the hat.
It's, yeah, the hat.
And it's the corset scene.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the corset scene, the best scene.
The best scene.
It was also all of our sexual awakenings, because I feel like we're all kind of,
yep,
within
it,
the same,
yep,
age. And so I just feel like it's like 90s nostalgia,
yep,
camp, straight. It's everything.
It's everything.
It's Jamie Lee. It is all of us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's Jamie Lee. It is all of us. Yeah. By the way, readers, we did fully get into the Ariana DeBose.
We dissected.
On the last episode. At this point, we're probably done talking about it.
We'll never be done talking about it. Oh, my God. Well, we didn't say anything that no one else hasn't said.
We were more commenting on, like, cringe culture,
which is my culture.
Yeah,
that's what I learned when that happened.
Yes.
I was like, I live for cringe culture.
Right, right.
That is defining culture for me.
Yep.
Is it.
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, the number one moment in culture history on our top 200 moments of culture is Adele Dazeem.
Oh,
it's the most euphoric moment of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Which isn't even quite cringe. It's just like impacted everyone in the exact same way.
It is pure serotonin to think about. Like, that moment, I'll never forget. I was sitting in my living room with Amanda Shackman.
I will never forget, too. Yeah. I'll
never forget. I was sitting in our living room in Park Slope with Amanda Shackman, and he came out, and I thought the joke was, oh, John Travolta is sort of giving the presentation for this, like, iconic gay song. I was like, this is already funny to me. And then when he said Adele Dazeem, I just screamed, who? And then when they cut to Adina...
Oh, that face.
That face.
Terror. Terror. And you know, she already was feeling shook about having to sing it in the first place.
Oh my God.
Huh. Second place.
That was defining cringe culture for you?
I mean, for me, it's like knowing that she has to sing this really difficult song she has struggled with live.
Was it Let It Go?
It was Let It Go.
Oh yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
And right. John Travolta, I'm sorry, like just appearing as he did. And saying Adele Dazeem
with
that
little bit.
With the confidence.
It's the confidence
it's
that
the
makes
confidence.
The
yeah.
I'm sorry. This goes to what you were asking me, like, what is defining culture for you? And I thought long and hard about it. And
let's go into it. It's
a great segue.
Please.
Because I never even realized the term cringe culture, but that's okay. I'm going to go back to like watching old reality TV shows when it first came out.
Uh-huh.
There was a show called Hey Paula. I don't know if you remember the Life and Times of Paula Abdul's show.
Yeah.
When she is asked to choreograph the Bratz Doll 2 movie, and the penultimate episode is that it falls apart and she's no longer going to be on it. And she starts crying as if her dog, her town, her family has been stabbed, murdered, and burnt to a crisp. And that to me was, that's when I knew that something was wrong inside of me.
Yeah.
Because it was so cringy. And so that, it just brings it full circle.
Yeah.
That was the defining moment where I was like, I am obsessed with cringe culture.
Wow.
Showgirls, Angela Bassett did the thing, all of that. I cannot get enough of.
I know. Were you a fan of The Office?
No.
Okay, so is that cringe culture though? Because that's like entirely cringe humor.
Yes.
So maybe you'd love the television show The Office.
I probably would, but sometimes it makes me so uncomfortable that I can't watch things.
Right.
But when things are delivered with such confidence,
right,
there's like, it's like a glitch in my matrix. It's like I explode inside. Yeah.
The ultimate sort of comedy, I'm getting a little academic, is like, I always think of it as like there's an error in stimulus. Something is being, you're being stimulated by something that is wrong.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it is.
That is the hate politics.
And some people can really withstand that, and some people really can't.
Yeah.
Like, can't even watch it, can't even be in the room. Like, cringe culture drives them up the wall.
But then some people spin the cringe culture. Like, I don't know if you've seen Elizabeth Berkley on Instagram. She's come out with a whole new line of merch.
I know
showgirls.
A lot about Elizabeth Berkley on Instagram. Yeah.
Wait, really?
Me too.
Yeah, she's kind of amazing.
She's released a new line of hats that say, like, Versace and all these things, and she's really, really taking it to the next level. When you know, like, when this came out, when Showgirls came out.
Shameful.
And when, I'm sure that she, if there was a Twitter, she would have deleted it, similarly to Ariana.
Totally.
Do you
totally.
Know what I mean? But now she's just like, again, she's like, it's a receive-a-sance. She's like, okay, I received that. I'm taking it. I'm turning it into something beautiful.
Yes.
Wow.
And honestly, like, what I will commend, if not Ariana DeBose, then at least her team about, is the very quick pivot to, it is funny.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because can't but have they didn't felt think good. That.
It's like what Diana did when Diana came out, being like, it is campy.
Yeah,
when
Diana, right. Yes.
It is campy. It's like, did we all think, I don't think that that's the intention. I think it's played as seriously as possible. And then when we all start to catch on and it becomes meme culture, then they're like, oh, okay, this is actually what it is.
Right.
Yeah. See, and like, at least there's an element of it that can be celebrated in this way. Whereas other things, when they're just bad, like you almost wish they leaned into like a
correct.
Camp or cringe moment. Like,
correct.
I'll say it. Like,
say
because
it.
Why not? I did see Bad Cinderella.
Oh my God. I want to see it so badly. It reminds me of Wonderland.
Yeah, I did see it. I saw actually the second night it was on. I really wanted to go the first night
because
I wanted to be on the ground when it
happened. Talk about wanting to do shrooms and seeing anything. For me, it's Bad Cinderella. I don't know why.
And you know what? All I had was like a Dirty Shirley and it really should have been more shrooms.
Yeah.
But I will say this, like, okay.
Go off.
And if this has nothing to do with any performer in the show. They all really are great and committed. And I love Grace McLean. And like, I love Cara Lee Carmello. And they're so
everyone's
brilliant.
A star in it.
Everyone's so good. It's just like Andrew Lloyd Webber at his most like limp. So it's just like you've heard all these like messes of notes together before, and like, and the story really doesn't go anywhere.
Interesting.
Like, and I feel bad because like,
so would you call it camp?
I actually wouldn't. See, and I almost think, I think they're trying for camp, and I think the performers want it to be camp, but the material is just not really camp, because I don't believe it was written with the intention bad.
And this is the thing.
And that is camp, right?
Well, and the conversation about camp, which is like, I think like has been especially relevant since like that Met Gala year.
Yeah.
Like 2019.
With Celine Dion.
With Celine.
Her
so perfect example of Celine, right? It's like something that is executed in bad taste, but presented with the confidence of it being good taste.
Right.
That is, I think, what is pretty fundamental. And so Angela Bassett did the thing. It was like a performance of like, this is good.
Yeah, no, it was not meant to be this.
Correct.
It is not aware of it being bad. And Bad Cinderella, it sounds like they're trying to like, it's, the cycle now is very short between like putting something out there and then quickly course correcting and being like, oh, actually, no, we meant for this to be
right.
a little bad.
It's not camp. It's just not very good. And I feel like the performers are maybe even trying to, and really almost succeeding in like fooling the audience into thinking that like it's camp, but their performances are also good.
It's just
good performance of bad material.
Yeah.
So that's not camp.
What is, honestly, and I would say what is camp is like Colors of the Wind. Marla doing Colors of the Wind.
100%.
It's the kids doing patty cake. It's the
Bring
balls.
It back to
it's
me.
The balls bouncing up and down.
That's literally camp.
It's literally like, this is bad, and it's us pretending on stage that it's good, and then you fool people at Ellen Stardust being like, who is this woman who's auditioning for Disney Cruises?
Who's this?
That is the
perfect
woman? Example.
Yeah, you're right. I am camp.
Yes, say it.
I mean, Titanic is like
Titanic is perfect. High camp.
It's perfect, camp because like camp. You know, just even the way like the way that you sing certain notes, like people wouldn't do that because they wouldn't, because it's not written to do that, but you do it and we understand it's a reference to Celine, but also like an intentional heightening of the moment
right.
and a blowing out of it. Also just like the anachronisms, everything.
Yeah.
The fact that it's like, and Celine Dion was of course on the
on
ship.
The ship.
You know, that's wrong. You know what I mean?
It's like, flat out wrong.
It's flat out wrong. It's just not true. Yeah. And so that to me is like falls more under the definition and knows itself.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? Like one must know thyself. It's actually rule of culture number 59.
One must know thyself. The Oracle in the Matrix.
I believe that was the Oracle that said that first.
Okay, this is random, and I just want to touch on it briefly. Did you ever see Andrew Lloyd Webber DJ with Countess Luann?
That is like the ultimate meme. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Like, great. I just want to make sure that we all saw that.
That is like a moment that is like, oh, that's fun. Like he must know what this image is. Maybe he doesn't.
Maybe, but the thing is, I'm confused about Andrew Lloyd Webber. You know what I mean? I'm confused about it. And like, maybe it's, I just never meant to get it and won't get it. But like him posing with the Countess, here's the thing about the Countess. The Countess is not camp because the Countess goes out there and is like, every time they drag her on like Real Housewives at a reunion or something for being a bad singer, she gets really hurt. And offended. And it's like, so you don't know that you're not great. Yeah. And she'll say things like, I mean, I'm not Whitney Houston, but geez. And it's like, no, you cannot sing. And that's okay. Like, I went to the show. I had an amazing time. I said this after I saw Countess. She is a star.
Yes, yes.
She holds the room.
Right.
Love.
But
even when she gets vomited on.
Right.
Oh, like, that moment.
And you know,
did you see the video of that?
No.
I could. There's video of the woman. Yeah.
Oh, really?
There is video now.
I actually have severe vomit phobia. So it's, I'm so
well, you wouldn't have liked me in Sydney. I threw up in an Uber at 33.
You did?
32. My last days of 32.
You got so drunk?
I was so drunk and like
jet lagged
and also like I'm doing great now, but it wasn't best month of my life. And so like I sort of went for it.
One night in
Sydney, I was rotating margaritas, espresso martinis, fireball shots.
Matthew.
And I took an edible. And I'm telling you,
Matt,
this poor Uber driver in Sydney, like I swear to God, I've never been so humiliated in my life. And then especially me walking in shirtless because I ruined a great tank top
to my hotel.
And they say, sir, you can't come in here like that. And I turned to them and I do remember this. I said these words verbatim.
Oh my God.
I don't want to be like this.
Oh my God. That is
you
so dark.
You can't write that.
No. But yeah, ruined wow. At least that man's night. But I did Zelle him. By the way, this is also so funny with me being like, do you have Zelle?
And they do.
I sold them $400. Okay,
oh, that's actually really sweet.
Like, wow. So drunk and so sorry.
Yeah. So drunk and so sorry.
My whole Sydney experience. So drunk and so sorry.
Oh my God.
But like, wow.
When in Sydney?
When is it truly? I mean, it's a drinking town.
It was World Pride.
Oh,
yeah.
They drink hard. Oh my God.
They go for their what is it? Their...
And they party until everything's open until like 6 or 7 in the morning.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I went with family. It was too wholesome when I went recently. But oh God.
Oh my God. In Melbourne, there's a place called Puff Duff, which is a gay club. They have like a pop room on like Saturday nights. You go, you stay until like 6 or 7 in the morning. It is incredible. It's like 3 stories of just music and dancing and people go off.
Ty
Sunderland was in World Pride Sydney because of course. Icon.
A lot of people were down there.
He was at Puff Duff. He was DJing at Puff Duff.
It's so fun.
Are you going out after shows?
Never. I'm a zombie.
Okay, okay.
I'm a rot. I call it rotting. I literally rot until the sunset and then I do the show.
That's so funny. I just talked to John Riddle who's on vacation and he described what he was doing on vacation as rotting.
That's rotting. Yeah.
That is the perfect description. That's me on Sundays.
Yeah. I cannot do anything. The first week I was like, me and some of the other castmates were like, this is not going to be, okay, we're here. This is going to be 3 months, you guys. We're going out. We're living our lives.
We're not
getting stuck into the routine of doing 8 shows a week and going home and doing nothing. Literally, I'm out for a week. I go out for one drink. I get COVID a week and a half into the show.
Oh my God.
The show closes because I give it to 5 of my cast members. And I have literally, it's now 8 months and I have never recovered. I do nothing. I cannot go out.
Because I was going to ask, like, that has to be hard. The show's hard. The music is hard.
It is the most
even
singing.
For you. You're an amazing singer. Yeah.
Oh, and thank we,
and
you
also
so much.
That's getting lost. Like you are an incredible
the life
singer.
I never led, sister.
Thank
Act.
You.
Please go look it up.
Yeah,
incredible.
Thank you. This is actually harder and more than Sister Act. Sister Act I thought was the hardest and highest singing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean the nuns in Sister Act had to like skrelt to the heavens,
right.
including me.
Right.
But this is even harder and higher and like, you know, the riffier than that.
Yeah.
But it's not so much the singing. It's just the energy that Celine Dion brings.
Because you have to bring Celine
the
whole time.
You're inhabiting her and you're doing what you described as the impression is you're smelling a fart. And so you go.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, did I fart? Somebody farted. Okay. I think it was me. Yeah. That's it the entire time.
Yeah.
She's always in disbelief about something. And she's always like, just like looking around.
But that is
honestly,
hard to sustain.
Honest discovery.
Honest discovery.
And I was like,
this is yogurt.
Yeah.
But that is you're in that for 2 hours.
Yeah, and I don't have any lines with any other cast members. I don't know how I wrote this.
Oh yeah, you're pretty much just narrating.
Right. I'm narrating the whole thing, and my scene partner is the audience. So it's like so much energy.
And you're info dumping, and you're
Info wars.
It's info wars. It's actually Roller Culture number 70. Titanic is info wars. I want to know what is the most fun song to sing that you get the most excited about still? And what is the most difficult song to sing that you get the most like trepidatious about?
Oh my God. The first 20 minutes of the show, I want to SOS myself.
Oh my God.
I'm Alive, which is the easiest song of hers to sing. And then Taking Chances, which is the highest song of hers to sing. The first 20 minutes.
I was going to say.
Sorry.
It is, I want to die. I am so nervous that I am shaking in the first 20
Before
minutes.
Before every show?
Every single show.
I enter.
Oh, my stage fright is. I have musical theater mental illness, and I'm very open about that. I suffer from such horrible stage fright that I am like shook for the first 20 minutes.
Really?
Once I get through Because You Loved Me, which is in the second act, and then I have to sing the hardest songs, which are I Surrender and My Heart Will Go On. Those are a piece of cake. But I have to get through. Oh, also the bridge of To Love You More. You know, when she's like,
Oh my God.
It is so high. Yeah, they're actually all so hard.
Also, not for nothing, but whoever is singing, I think it's the Barbara track, is maybe? Tell him.
Kathy Deitch? I saw it with Kathy Deitch.
It was Kathy Deitch, but now I sing that top part.
Oh, wow.
Which
that's
is like,
gnarly.
That's hard.
Gnarly.
That,
whenever we're like lip syncing it, which happens a lot,
yeah.
I always go like this, through the nose.
Yeah.
It is cuckoo.
Yeah.
Like the sound has to go through your top of your head.
Yeah. Everyone is singing from our show. We call it Laser Cat. It's like
Laser Cat.
It's like all here. It's here. That is my voice.
The third eye.
Yeah, my voice is in my third eye.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want.
No, it's great. It's great.
That's CCM.
That is CCM. Everyone's a Laser Cat.
Right.
Everyone sings like this.
I love it.
Yeah. Though. I mean, like, I remember like when you grow up on like pop music, right?
Yeah.
And you're listening to like Celine Dion, who sounds, all intents and purposes, sounds like she is screaming belting, but it's just like a powerful
but
sound she
so
can make.
So,
but it's so easy. And then you go to like see live theater and everything. I remember like when I first saw like Wicked, it was like, it had to be 900th replacement cast. I was like 16 years old and the Elphaba insulted us when she literally went, like
she
on the thing.
It
was, I saw like a Wednesday matinee and it was so limp dick.
It was, bring me down.
And I'm like, I was ready to SOS. I was ready to SOS in that moment. But I was just like, yeah, but I guess like you do have to have those moments where you're like, sorry, y'all, I'm healthy right now.
Oh,
or else.
Right.
I'm experiencing it on my tour. Like, it's like, you know, it's hard to be.
It's hard. And if you can't do it, if I am not feeling at least 90% well, then I can't do the show. Like, you can't be sick.
No, of course.
Because if I was, I would SOS myself on stage.
Yeah.
I would call out of the show if I had to go, at the end of Wicked.
Yeah.
Like that is just, that's a crime. You can be arrested
for
that.
We agree.
I felt like, you know what sucked? Someone could come up to me on the street and punch me in the face and I could sue. And I have no course of legal action for what happened that day.
Which is worse.
That's so awful. Like I have no, I've met with lawyers. I'm like, what can I do? Because part of me was like, if I knew any better, if I was like a
demand your money
hoity-toity like gay now, I might have marched to the box office and been for what she just did. And also, it was the understudy for Stephanie J. It was not Stephanie J. So I didn't even get Stephanie J.
I didn't get Stephanie J. Into the Woods.
Yeah.
But she was great. The understudy was fantastic.
I saw.
But Stephanie J is like, I mean, that's like the pinnacle for me.
Yeah.
She is like the penultimate diva.
Come on. And I mean, so get this.
The greatest voice.
It was supposed to be Stephanie J Block and Annalee Ashford. And we got Annalee Ashford, who was stunning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now Tuesday, I'm going to, no, for, I'm talking about for Wicked. I saw Annalee do Glinda.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
And I'm going to see Sweeney on Tuesday.
Good.
I heard that it's Annalee's show.
Oh,
God bless.
I can't wait.
God,
I love
amazing.
How much I'm so jealous of the amount of theater that you see.
This is what he does. He just buys tickets every night.
I get stoned and I just buy tickets. Oh. So tonight I'm seeing Jessica Chastain in Doll's House. Tomorrow I'm seeing Sweeney Todd. Wednesday I'm seeing Ben in Parade.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Friday I'm seeing Camelot.
With Taylor.
Oh my God.
With Taylor Trench and Pippa Sue.
And Pippa Sue. Uh-huh.
And then, Saturday, before I go to SNL, I'm going to see Betty Who.
Oh, amazing.
At Hammerstein Ballroom. Oh, and then so I'm going to go to SNL starring Bowen Yang with host Jenna Ortega.
Oh my God.
He's got a good week.
Yeah, really you being like, week. I'm having a bad month.
It's
like,
getting this birthday is week.
Yeah.
Well, this is why, I mean, like, I've gone through some things. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, you know what? How do I get out there and be busy and do things I enjoy? And it's theater for me. Like,
yeah,
I
love it.
I'm telling you, like, when I saw Titanic, it did something to my spirit.
Thank you so much.
It really did.
It defined my summer. Seeing that show, I was like, this all, like, is coming into view. Like, I was like, it was amazing. Like,
and we wore our hats.
It was like a tentpole in time for me. Like, I will remember that summer. I'll think about that summer. I'll be like, Fire Island came out. And we went to go see Titanic.
Yeah.
Truly.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Like, those are the things from that summer for me.
Yeah, Fire Island came out and went to go see Titanic.
That's
and also,
it.
We were so busy that to then, like, have a moment where we could just, like, literally enjoy ourselves. And also, I will say, to be in that space felt so cool. And now you can't go to the UCB, old UCB theater anymore. But I was like, wow, they really found a way to use this space for the power that it has, which was, I always felt like the reason why it created such great actors when UCB was occupying that space was because you could do something really small and they would feel it everywhere. You know what I mean?
I used to go all the time. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I used to take improv classes, and when I actually did have a life, I would go from Cinderella to like go watch like a UCB show. And I was like, yeah, it was wonderful. RIP UCB.
I know.
The only thing that happened that was shitty to us is when Gristiti's closed before UCB did, all the rats came down to the basement.
No.
Yeah.
In that little hallway.
Wretched
hallway.
That's where our dressing rooms were. And we would have to pack up our set every single night. And so it was like us and the rats.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, talking about, I literally was bad Cinderella. It was me and the rats.
but you were done with it.
And then Daryl Roth is like amazing and beautiful. Yeah. And I do have a special announcement to share.
Yes,
what? Please.
We have been officially extended.
Yay!
For a fourth time.
Amazing.
When?
Till September 10th. I completely forgot.
Oh my God, amazing.
Congrats, you guys.
That's incredible.
We just go on and on and on.
How has it been with Rosé?
She is.
Oh my God.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
Have you ever met her before?
Oh, she's a friend. Yeah.
She is the kindest,
superstar.
Loveliest person. Her voice is incredible.
Super
she's
talented.
An incredible dancer. She's been the most gracious, wonderful, humble person. Such a beautiful addition to the cast. Mm. I cannot say enough great things about her.
Oh, that's
she is
awesome.
She's so, so good. And she is so grateful to be a part of it. And she was like, this is like a new chapter for me doing theater. Like, I didn't think that I would do it. And I was like, this is your path right now. It's saying, like, do theater. So just like stay here and like have fun.
Yes. Amazing. I remember when Rosé won the Rusical, Rue said to Rosé, like, it's just really amazing when you get to see people do what they were born to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's so real. Amazing. I mean, like, they do have such a powerful stage presence. And like, you know, the thing about like Drag Race is just because you get on that, you don't necessarily get the opportunity to showcase your main talent.
Yep. Correct.
And so like, you know, of course, you know, Rosé being a finalist, like, got to do all these different types of challenges and stuff, but you don't necessarily know that you're going to get a season that's like heavily reliant on what your skill is and like to even make it that far, because you might flop in a design challenge or an acting challenge and not get to sing. It happens sometimes where you don't find out someone's really good at something until like after the show or like a second All-Stars thing or whatever. You know, Monet Exchange, we didn't hear the opera sound until
All-Winners.
All-Winners.
Are you
watching Drag Race this season?
Of course.
Oh. Yeah.
It's getting fun. Like, now that, like, we're down to, like, the final seven, I'm like, okay, like, the narratives are very fun and clear. And I like that they're willing to be villains again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, Mistress is giving full 23-year-old energy. I love it.
No,
like,
I know. I love it, too.
Of course you're 23. She's like...
Mistress is 23.
Or she's, like, 25. She's a young girl.
This makes me want to die.
No, it's fine. But I like... It's that, like, Zoomer... millennial cusp thing where she's like, I'm gonna be like chaotic.
Yeah.
Which, like, great, bring it back.
It's gonna be, I mean, like, if the top 3-4 is, I think it's probably gonna be, I mean, for me, when I saw that lip sync with Sasha Colby,
Sasha is my number Anitra. One.
Sasha Colby is the winner, I think.
Yeah, me too.
But Anitra has a fan in me. I am just watching her lip sync that amount of times and to
nailed
only have technically one once.
One is was wild. Like,
yeah. Whoa! Yeah. I mean, that was a real... I love the lip sync. Yeah. What do you call it?
Lollapalooza.
Yeah. I love Sasha Colby. I think that she is such a star. And I like that she's one of the older ones, too.
Yeah.
Because now I feel so old watching Drag Race.
With
the TikTok...
Yep.
Listen, okay, hot take. I love Sugar and Spice. I think that they're so beautiful. I want to... If they were women, I would have sex with them.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, they're hot.
They're
hot boys,
they're
too.
They're hot twinkie boys,
yeah.
Loved them. Loved them.
I feel so old
watching the show now.
Sure. Well, because I think the 15 is kind of reminiscent of season 7 when it was like acknowledging the fact that there were like Instagram queens.
Yeah.
This is the first season acknowledge that there are TikTok queens.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know? What's next?
I don't know. Truly
I think
don't know.
Nothing.
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing. I think nothingness is next. I think SOS.
Yeah, nothing.
I think SOS soon.
Oh, man.
No, I hope not.
No.
Not when I have this, like, season night.
Exactly.
Not during my new Charizard era. Not during Pisces season.
Not during Pisces season.
Do you know about the Charizard era?
No, what is that?
It's, you're in your flop era, you're flopping. If you're, like, really evolved, if you're, like, operating at, like...
Power.
You're Charizard.
You're on your Charizard. You're in your Charizard era.
Charizard?
Do you know about Pokemon?
No.
It is
clear,
like,
because if she knew about Pokemon, she wouldn't sort of say Charizard.
So sorry.
No, we're not making fun.
Who is Charizard? Is that a Charo's cousin?
So that's Charizard.
Wait, someone should create a Charizard. Like Charo as a
Charizard.
That's I could get on board with.
Yeah, so basically, I think you're in your Charizard era.
So I had a flop era? Well, I did.
It does not imply a flop era. But it just means you're in a great time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. You know? Yes, this is my Charo's era.
Yes, you said it.
This is my Charo's era.
My Charo's era.
Yeah.
I like that.
Where'd
this
you
is
get
my
this?
Charo's
like,
era.
Where did you get
it's in the dairy section.
What is this? Yeah.
Do you know what this is?
Yeah. But how do you know that?
Yeah, how do you
I
know
I can't
that?
Read that at all.
That is so good. So do you not read?
I think
what was intuited was that she wasn't wearing her glasses.
Right. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
By the way.
What if she couldn't read? Leah Michelle part 2. I'm just throwing it out there. Conspiracy theory. InfoWars.
I mean, listen, Patrick Dempsey gets his scripts read to him because dyslexic.
It.
Yes. Every day on Grey's Anatomy. Yeah. Right. Just
dyslexia is real. So.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly. Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly.
So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend, Bowen Yang, to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went four more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
So this is our last episode before the Oscars.
Yes.
Ooh.
Let's discuss.
I've watched nothing. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
I've seen nothing.
So you've not seen Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Oh, I have seen that.
Uh-huh. Have you seen Tar?
No, I have not
you,
seen Tar.
First of all, you have to see Tar.
I know, because everyone's like, you're Tar. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
I don't think you're
not
Tar.
Not rich, but it's like, you're giving Tar vibes.
No, I don't know about that. No,
that's not a compliment.
No, I'm assuming it's not.
That's part of the conversation around Tar is like, is Tar, is Tar iconica?
Or
is she flop era?
Flop era.
Ooh.
And yeah. She's flop era.
She's
in an iconic way.
Okay.
But let's give final predictions. Is it Kate Blanchett or Michelle Yeoh?
I think it's Michelle.
I think it's Michelle.
I think it's Michelle.
I think everything points to Michelle.
Everything points to Michelle.
I think the SAG win is giving Michelle.
Yeah.
Almost all the precursors she's won.
No. Kate was on a roll.
Oh, Kate, that's right.
Kate
really?
Won a lion's share of the Critics Awards.
Twist.
She won the Critics' Choice Award. She won the Golden Globe. Well, they both won Golden Globes.
Yes, that's right.
But I think that the juice was with Kate. And then Michelle winning the SAG, and then Michelle also winning the Indie Spirit Award for Best Lead Performance, which combines men and women.
Right.
Because so then, the gendered categories are sort of followed by the wayside.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see when the Oscars do something with that, because it's got to be coming.
There's a campaign for it.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing about the Tar thing is a lot of like the meme-y discourse around it is like, are like jokes that she's like a real person.
Right.
Like, oh, Tar is going to be on Sesame Street, whatever. You know, like, and so I think that is kind of like a subliminal thing of like, oh, Kate Blanchett rendered this character so in such a way that like people
genius performance that
people are like, she's a real person.
It's like Slender Man.
It's like a Slender Man
in many ways.
She's Slender Man.
Lydia Tarr is Slender Woman.
Yeah.
In many ways,
Slender Woman.
But I think that like this is the way I feel about it. Is there such equally powerful, iconic, signature individual performances in the way that, and the readers are hear me say this ad nauseum, but my thing with the Oscars is, could anyone else have done it? Like, and then could anyone else have done it this well? And I feel like with both of them, the answer is no. But for me, when it comes to Cate Blanchett, she's got so many wins and nominations already at that ceremony. And in her future, you can see that there's so many more nominations.
Yeah.
I think for Michelle Yeoh, this is her first nomination after the incredible career, storied cinematic worldwide career that she has. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but in the current landscape of the way the film industry is, you don't know that she's going to get another opportunity to have this type of thing. So it's like, for me, it's like, I understand being a Cate Blanchett stan, and I ride hard for Cate Blanchett. I've said many times, our greatest living actor, but you got to give it to Michelle Yeoh for me. I mean, there's, for me, it's,
but we'll
it's
see.
So amazing, the performance.
It's so amazing, the performance. A thing in her campaign has been, I've waited my whole career for this script.
Yes.
You know?
Aww.
And like, I think she's like knowingly sort of putting out there that like, I really gave this my all.
This is it, you guys.
I mean, not no.
No, I think that's like a huge second win for her, which is so exciting. But I just don't know that you can say, we see this opportunity to give this woman the Best Actress Oscar and we're not going to do it. Like, Because there's an equally incredible performance, but for someone that already has won twice and likely because of the way that careers like hers go will have maybe even, like, I compared her career at this point in her life to Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep has had many nominations since she was Kate Blanchett's age. Mm-hmm. And I would put them in the comparable conversation in terms of roles that they're going to play.
Yeah, yeah.
And let it be known, Kate Blanchett will be nominated for more Oscars. Yes. And I just think, don't waste this chance to give someone their flowers that has done so much, so incredibly well, and means so much to so many people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, to me, it's a no-brainer.
I think it's a shoo-in for Best Picture because...
I agree. Yeah. I mean, well, I haven't seen anything else, but it was truly one of the most revolutionary things and graphic, just... masterpieces I have ever seen in my life.
You know what's funny? Like, I would personally give Michelle Best Actress. I'm rooting for Stephanie for Best Supporting. I mean, it's so cool. Well, she's an old friend of ours.
She's incredible.
And I would give Key Best Supporting Actor 100%. And I think it's close for me between, and Tar will not win Best Picture, but for me, my favorite movie of the year, it's very close for me. Mm-hmm. Everything Everywhere All at Once and Tar. Mm. Like, those two, those are my two favorite films of the year.
Same. Those are my two favorite movies of the year. Everything Everywhere All at Once is like this amazing reinvention of a thing that's already felt like a stale trope in Hollywood, which is like multiverse movies.
Yes.
Mm. Like, and like even people at Marvel, like I think I've heard through the grapevine people at Marvel being like,
They did it better.
And with Tar, I feel like it's an amazing movie. It's a great satire in a lot of ways. It's a fantasy about what cancel culture is. Because like the way she ends up is not anything that actually has happened to someone in the real world.
Right.
You know, like literally the ending of the movie is like so funny and shocking.
Yes.
And you're supposed to be like, that is like, truly outlandish.
You gotta see it.
I'm going.
Are you off tonight?
I'm off tonight. Yeah,
maybe watch it tonight.
Yeah, maybe I'm actually stopping by Ellen Sardis Diner after this, and then
to say, "Eat it, girls! Eat it!"
Can you imagine? They do use my name.
They do. Of course, they do.
That's so exciting.
They have a bucket. They have a tip bucket on the hour every hour that they go around and they get money from the tourists. And then they're like, "We have success stories."
Oh my god.
They made a Titanic-themed banana split sundae. So I'm going to go do that.
Really?
Take a picture.
Are you going to sing a song?
Absolutely not.
You're off. You're off.
I actually hate live singing. Yeah, I'm off.
I actually hate live singing.
And then I'm going to watch Tar. I'm going to force Connie to watch Tar.
You know what? Yes. Do it.
Is
Connie back from skiing?
He's and we live together.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh my
non-sexual God. Life partners.
Where's the pilot?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Wait, and also I want to shout out Connie because the sort of first time I saw Connie perform was in Cruel Intentions, the musical, which does a very similar thing.
Yeah.
Because our friend who I mentioned Amanda Schechtman, was swinging and she was on for the Sarah Michelle Gellar lead for like a couple weeks. And so I saw her and Connie do that because he was the Ryan Phillippe part. And what I loved, what she told me, which... I'm going to ask him if it's cool if I share this, but he said that a lot of cast members of Cruel Intentions would come to the show.
We were just talking about this.
And he said that Reese Witherspoon, when she came, was like, I can't really look at you because you remind me too much of my ex-husband. And actually was like, you were so great, I can't engage. Because I guess that was the movie where they met.
Yeah, they met. Yeah.
And so it had to trigger her in like a crazy way.
Whoa.
Tara Reid also came.
Really?
Tara Reid of the iconic... Have you seen that video of her being like, I look hot in it, I'm popping it, woo. I'll send it to you. It is absolutely.
You must send it.
She was like, wow, man, that was super awesome, man. He played her as if she was like a high frat bro, being like, whoa, man, that was super awesome,
love
man.
You're doing a good Tara Reid.
Great Tara Reid.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're an impressionista.
A fashionista?
Impressionista.
Impressionista. I'll take both.
And from a culture.
I'm not a fashionista.
That's something.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend Bowen Yang to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went 4 more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
We have to move on, I think.
Move on, I think.
It's time for I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay. Oh, shit.
So this is our big segment, really, where we take 1 minute to rail against something in culture that's chapping our fucking ass.
Chapping our ass.
And not in the Charizard era. We don't stand for it. I have something that I think people can relate to. I really do.
Those are the best ones.
Relatability is clutch.
Clutch.
Tiny Real Culture number 51.
Relatability is clutch. This is Matt Rogers. I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, when you change the name of the group thread.
Oh,
don't do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to find you guys. And if you change the name of the group thread, like,
what are my search words?
Think so, honey, because what are my search words? Where are my girls? You know what I'm saying? Especially like you pithy gays out there, like trying to make your little jokes. Like, I don't know what's topical at the time. I'd have been busy that day. I didn't know that Angela Bassett did the thing is now the name of the group chat.
Oh,
I knew something that was happening on Twitter, but let me go get to know it on Twitter first, and then I can know it's the group chat. My favorite name of my gay group chat recently was Women Talking.
Oh,
I want it to be called Women Talking. I love when women talk and share information in a group chat. And that's the way you move forward. But then, lo and behold, I Don't Think So, Honey, when I go back.
15 seconds.
And it's some reference to something else.
Mm.
And for a while, my gay group chat was having a lot of fun with the name Tar. And then it was Women Tarking.
Oh,
with
that's with really the thing. Good.
5
and
seconds.
I Don't Think So, Honey, that we had to move on from that. Right now, it's weather with the tar thing over the E.
Oh, that's crazy.
Because LA has crazy weather? I Don't Think So, Honey.
And that's 1 minute. Yeah, that is very real.
This is so scary. I cannot do this.
Yes, you can.
Stop it.
I'm about to really just give you a different flavor.
But you know this.
I know this, and I think I know who is changing the names in your this group.
Sometimes I change it too.
Well, then you're.
Oh, then you're just.
No, you're the culprit.
And I complicit. Get it.
You're complicit.
If you can't drag yourself, how are you going to drag somebody else?
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen. With the tilde tar.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do it.
I like consistency, familiarity.
Yes.
I think we have a group chat that's been the same for a long time.
Yeah, Twink Cores.
And now it's just Cores 2023.
Yeah,
because we updated at the year.
there's vernacular, which
please
is...
Please explain.
We had some bit one day in the chat of like, oh, we're all going to core get, twink.
Get cored.
We're going to get cored.
It depends
on what the sexual identity of the group chat at large is. Like, for a while, we were like, we are the cored.
Okay.
Because we were bottoming a lot.
Got
like,
it.
Getting cored out.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And then we were
so
the
it's
cores.
A gay thing. It's a sexual thing.
It's a gay thing. It's a sexual thing. It's a disgusting thing.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, gay is disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
And that's one of the rules of culture. Rule of culture number two.
Gay
is disgusting. And then we have another group chat called The Coop.
The Coop. There's a whole story there. But we're basically...
Like a chicken coop.
Yes, we're the...
Or a coop.
No,
we're the hens. We're the hens.
We're the hens, and we cluck.
Okay, love it.
And we're the hens, and we cluck.
You know, anytime we were about to meet up with you, it was like, can't wait to cluck
tonight.
Can't wait to cluck tonight.
Very music man. Very music man.
Sometimes you...
Take a little, talk a little.
Yes.
When you throw out the feed... That means sort of like seeing if the coop is going to come out that night.
I love that.
The hands
of
the coop. Pluck and cluck.
Yeah. I support that.
Yeah.
Being cored.
You don't like that?
I know. It is upsetting.
Not in your bag house with you and Connie?
That is exactly what it is. I do identify as a gay man. That's exactly what it is.
There you go.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew you were that girl.
That girl. I have one.
I love when you have one.
It's personal.
It's personal. Ourselves and I. We got some listening to do.
Period.
And it's to Bowen Yang's. I don't think so, honey. And one of the things that's going to happen is I'm going to get my phone out and hit the thing. Bowen Yang, your time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. The Uber driver in London who pulled up to the side before letting me out, he said, I have to show you something. I go, what? He goes, your Uber rating. It's low. I said, what is it? 4.8. I said, that's low. He said, that's very low. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, I have not vomited in a single car.
Yeah, you're not.
Mine's 4.6.
I am quiet as a mouse. I'm not
always
disruptive.
On time.
30
I'm
seconds.
Always on time. What could this possibly be? So Uber, I don't mean to be all call the manager right now, but talk to the manager
Karen.
Right now.
Karen.
But I'm a little Karen. But I need to make this right because this driver made it seem like I
15.
Was... 15. Truly like persona non grata in the streets of London, and I need to be taking these cars because
you work there.
I work there now, and
five seconds.
And the tube is really a maze, and I don't really know how to navigate it that well.
Oh my god.
That's 1 minute.
And that's 1 minute.
I'm
I was
truly
say,
distressed. It's
crazy that you got dragged for a 4.8 because after my experience in the Uber in Sydney, I'm at a 4.6.
Wow.
But is that even low?
Which means it means he gave me like a zero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It means he looked at the state of his car and was like, let me get on this app, girl. Let me drag my girl to hell.
Oh my God.
I don't care how much money they zelled.
Oh my, but to be fair, like, no offense, you did deserve that. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Okay, I
really don't know what I could have done.
I know what you did.
Cumulatively.
That happened to me. Someone was like, you recently got a low star rating. I was like, excuse me, I'm there literally at the second that they pull up.
Yep.
I say, hi, how are you? I don't say a fucking word.
Mm-hmm.
And I drop them off. I say, thank you so much.
Yep.
I always tip them 20%, 5-star ratings
always.
Across the board.
Always.
I was like, what did I do?
Yep.
And then you can't like go back.
I mean,
like, exactly. Hey,
Connie isn't here to call you out because he probably observes your behavior. I observe your
okay,
behavior
I
and
doing?
I know what you did.
What
I've,
did I do?
I've told you this before.
Yeah.
I walk into the street.
Not that. It's the way you get into the car.
Oh.
You crawl on the seats.
I'm not getting
on
them dirty.
Fours.
Bowen, they don't know that. And maybe you are.
That's not going to warrant like less
you
than a
listen
five
to
star
me
rating.
And readers, reach out with what you think. But when you're getting
readers,
into
I don't
a
want
car,
their input,
readers.
Actually.
When you get
listeners.
They're the readers.
They're the
okay?
readers.
Readers.
So listen, readers. When you're getting into an Uber, you go foot first and the foot hits the ground. Bowen Yang crawls
crazy.
Knees first into the car.
Niche.
I've never seen anything like it. And yes, you do sort of like you are one to sort of really make yourselves known in the street. Like Bowen is I wouldn't
there,
describe
there, there
you
have
as
been no
patient.
Incidents. There have been no incidents. There's no like moment.
Why are you rating low then?
There's no moment where some driver could go, oh no, that's a demerit. You know what I'm saying?
But you're incorrect because you've been demerited and told by one of the dolls themselves. You've done
the
wrong.
Dolls.
You can't call them the dolls.
No, they're the dolls. The Uber dolls.
You actually... This is the fight of my life. I need to get this back up.
Do you
y'all.
Feel like you physically could change? Like, could you change? Could you
I'm
go
on my
foot
best
first?
Behavior, not that I wasn't before. That's the fucking thing. I would get in trouble in school for not even
He's
doing
indignant.
Huh?
You're indignant.
Well, I just, but this is like a triggering thing for me. Like, I don't know if you guys were those kids in school who would get in trouble for like
would
not
depend
doing
on the teacher.
It. I guess it would depend on the teacher, but I felt like I got dinged a lot for like nothing. And I'd be like, there's literally like a kid doing drugs like two desks over. What are you doing?
Those teachers are scared of that kid.
Fuck. I mean, yeah, it's whatever.
Bowen, you're going through it.
I'm going through. People need to, I think people look at an Asian boy and they go, I'm not afraid of him.
Oh my God.
I'm bringing race into this.
Yeah, I would. I get
you
it.
You would if you were.
Let me tell you something. If I was not white, I'd bring race into
yeah.
it. Yeah. And I'm bringing race into it right, right. now.
And that's your right. Anyway. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you for following me.
Okay,
on that.
So listen.
That was, they're both so good.
Oh. Don't worry about it. It's not okay. like that.
It's not like that.
It's not like that, you guys.
It's not like that. It's really
what you
not
need
like
to
that.
Say about I don't think so, honey, is I'm going to try that.
I'm going
to
try that.
Wait, also, don't let me forget, before we end the episode, I have to show you a video. I have to play something for the readers and us all.
Okay.
After Marlo's I Don't Think So, Honey, okay. and before we sing the song and end.
Okay, amazing.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
All right. This is Marlo Mandel's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
Okay, mine is musical theater specific. I Don't Think So, Honey, hashtag first day of school. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anybody that's in musical theater, that's on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, which also I Don't Think So, Honey, for me. Drag me to hell and back.
Me neither.
Anyone that's on Facebook that's also an actor, which is all of my friends, posts a picture of the script being like, hashtag first day of school.
Right.
I'm here to tell you, musical theater is not school. I Don't Think So, Honey, I went to school for musical theater. Basically, you get a degree in air. I have a certificate that says I can tap dance. And you know what you can't parlay tap dancing into? I don't know, financial planning. Oh. I would go to school for anything else besides musical theater because you can probably make more working at the MTA than you can doing the regional production of Derby Dinner Playhouse's Cats, which I did when I was 20 years old on Pop Brownies the entire time. And I made $300 a week.
Oh.
So basically what I'm saying is I don't want people to cancel musical theater, but I am asking everyone to cancel actors on Facebook.
There you go.
That's perfect.
And I think we can do it. I think we can all get on board with canceling musical theater first.
I'm going to say this. All actors, too cool for Facebook. You're too cool for it.
Yeah.
I obviously am not.
No. And I'm telling you, you're too cool for
okay,
it.
Okay. Yeah,
why do you find yourselves on that still?
Okay. I find myself on it because, and honestly, Connie will drag me for this. We got an apartment.
Good.
I was like, we're going to get everything on Facebook Marketplace. I'm not paying top dollar for
anything.
I'm on Facebook Marketplace an hour every single day, looking up everything, asking, hey, is this available?
Uh-huh.
And I never follow through, ever. I don't buy a fucking thing.
So then
I've done it for 8 months.
There should be a legal course of action for that.
No, sue me. Literally sue me. Take me off the platform. Uh-huh. I don't deserve to be on there.
Uh-huh.
Connie is
you might be deplatformed.
I should be.
A fate worse than death.
I should be. I'm only on for the Marketplace. That's literally it.
What a
sorry thing to be.
And so you don't need it then.
I don't need it.
You don't buy anything.
Because I don't buy anything, but I'm always like, I want to get a deal. I see like John Riddle's apartment. It's beautiful.
Everything is not surprised.
Like, I got it on the Marketplace for $5. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I can do this.
I forget about the marketplace. No, that's actually
the marketplace. It's like me. The first thing I look at, not Instagram, it's the Marketplace.
Wow.
I'm like, look at this West Elm chaise for $500. Maybe I should get it. I send it to Connie. I don't do anything about it.
That's so healthy. That's so much healthier. That's healthier than Instagram though.
Yeah, it is.
For sure.
So much healthier.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like, forget it. The thing is, listen, what I want you to do, I want you to buy one thing this week.
Yes.
On the Marketplace?
On the Marketplace.
That is actually a great goal.
Can you reach back out so that we can tell the readers that you did it?
What you got.
Send in a voicemail. Can you send in a voice memo?
Yeah.
We should try to do one in-person episode while I'm still here. I know that you're literally about to be in full-ass work.
Yeah,
so you probably can't.
Maybe Thursday, maybe Friday.
Maybe. I'll be around.
Okay.
But I would like to do a culture catch up with just you, one person, if that's possible. Just
schedule
build it into your schedule, which already has no free time in it.
At all.
The way I demand.
But I will make the space for you.
Yes.
That is my love.
But what I demand of you is you send in a voice memo describing what you bought and for how much.
Yeah.
And describe how
the
it felt.
The process.
Ultimately, I think it'll feel humiliating. I can say that right now. Just be like, hey,
it's already humiliating.
You know when you're always like, will you accept $125 for this instead of $150? And you're like, oh, I got to steal.
That's not humiliating. That's like basic bartering.
I know, but it just makes me feel like icky inside.
No.
Okay.
That's part of it.
You know what? You guys, you helped me. I'm going on the Marketplace right now.
Thank you.
Getting this painting that I've
been
looking
at. You're going to Ellen Starr.
So you have an idea of what you want to do.
Yes. Yes. I have a painting. I want to get real art.
Yes.
Like, that's been like my newest thing. Yeah. We bought a shitty poster. It looks terrible in our apartment. And we bought something that we called Teal Wicks, who's an actress. Basically, we got a teal storage locker. It looks terrible in the apartment. We call it Teal Wicks. And I'm like, Teal Wicks has got to go with this poster. And we're going to get a painting instead.
Amazing.
That's, I know. That is my
apartment. So you already know. You can already mission shop for
I'm going to mission shop.
Amazing. So you're going to go to Ellen Stardust tonight. You're going to take the picture with the banana
and then
split.
I'm watching Tar.
You're watching Tar.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
You're going on Facebook Marketplace. Yeah, that's
yeah.
the order.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
With that, I have this, this is the beginning of a gay porno.
Okay.
And you know how sometimes they'll do like a scene in the beginning?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the best part.
Oh no.
Let me set it up. Okay, so there's two gays on a couch.
On a couch.
And one gay says to the other, because it's kind of muffled because they're porn actors, they're not like good.
Sure.
They're not mic'd properly.
But he says, the sound on set was not Iconica Jones.
Yeah.
The one gay says to the other, have you seen this? Watch this. Okay, and then here we go.
Have you seen this clip? Watch this.
Gays just know how to do stuff.
Jennifer Coolidge.
You know,
single all the way.
I know survivors. And for some reason,
they're watching the clip.
They're always obsessed with me. I don't know why. I like it.
She's so funny. She's right. Gays do know how to do stuff.
She's right, gays do know how to do stuff. And then they start making out and hooking up.
Oh my God.
Can I say, it has gotten to the point where gays really are trying to murder this woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is not just a line from White Lotus. We have to stop this behavior. I could call out specific people. We're killing her. We're making her into a gay meme, and it is not going to serve her going forward.
Because
now she's in this porn, and these gays are acting badly around her. And now people, what if she became best known for this?
What
it has the power.
What you mustn't forget, for some reason, that the meme treatment of Jennifer Coolidge kind of takes something away from the fact that she's this like groundlings legend, like comedic legend who's been in like every Christopher Guest movie. It's like, show the woman some respect.
It's like, it's, you guys, it is so funny. I'm actually going to retweet it from the account right now.
Okay.
And I'm liking
it
too.
That's insane.
It's beautiful.
It's been posted by @computer_gay. @computer_gay. His name is Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
He posted it on March 4th. I've retweeted it. By the way, one of them, they're both like twinkie. One of them's wearing a smiley face t-shirt. There's like a lower third where the video pops up.
Love.
And you see the Jennifer Coolidge scene, it has to be illegal.
A lower third.
Oh, yeah. Like, it is like picture in picture.
Picture in picture.
Right, yeah, right.
PIP,
graphics.
SOS. And so then the gays watch it and the one gay says to the other, she's right. Gays do know how to do stuff. And then they, I guess, ostensibly fuck. And now I am curious about watching the rest of it.
I mean, it got my attention.
Yeah.
Cores.
For a gay man to say, to watch a Jennifer Coolidge clip and go, she's so funny. It's really
so funny.
She's so funny.
Like, and they thought, you know how we're going to get our porno to go viral? We involve Jennifer Coolidge. And God damn it, they did. And we just helped
it.
I know.
You're right.
We just signal boosted. Well, this was a phenomenal episode.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much for having me. I don't deserve to be here.
That's not true.
You must stop this.
That's how I feel.
No.
Honestly, I'm starstruck.
We were so excited.
Oh my God, stop it.
Wait, when I first went to go see the show and I sat in the front row, you came right over to me and like looked at me and I was like, oh, this must be the seat of the person that she looks at. She must do this. And then afterwards I came up to you and I was like, we've never met. Like, I'm such a fan. And you said, I know who you are. And I was like, there's no way. Because you are an idol to us.
But you are simply iconic to me. Iconica
Stop
Jones.
It.
Iconica
Jones.
Simpson.
Iconica Jones Simpson.
And Iconica...
Bonina Brown.
Bonina Brown. Oh my God.
I mean, you gotta see Titanic. It's now extended through September.
September 10th.
September 10th.
Yes.
September 10th. I bet there's another one after that.
But I would not be surprised.
I guess, but you have to probably be the one to end it, right? You're probably gonna be the one that has to call it because you are Celine.
I mean, they'll listen, at this rate, it's gonna be like Hamilton. Do you know what I mean? Like, they'll be like Australian Celines. They'll be
Are
like,
you eligible for any awards for this?
I think I might be eligible for like Off-Broadway awards. Maybe the
FYC. FYC.
Starts now.
Yeah,
starts
I mean, now. I think so. Drama Desk, maybe. I don't know.
We're going to get all of them.
Yeah.
Start the campaign.
We did lose to the Queerties to drag the musical.
We're all Queerties losers here.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, 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 yeah.
I lost like several Queerties.
Did you really?
I was like gay Gangs of New York. I took nothing home.
I'm a what's her face?
What? Wait,
Susan Lucci.
I'm a Susan Lucci of the
What Gritties. Did you lose? Oh, best.
I lost best comic. I love that for you. Lost best comedy show. Fire Island lost best streaming movie.
What? What won?
And we also lost best podcast.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Rigged.
It's okay. There's other hardware. So this is
yogurt.
This is yogurt.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try that.
Where did you get that?
It's time to we end every episode with a song.
So I surrender everything to feel the chance to live again. I reach to you. I know you can feel it too.
Oh, I'm doing the Kelly Clarkson version. To hear more of that, go to Titanic.
Bye.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
You know that I feel like it's really important to express yourself.
I know that about you.
You got to put your true self out there, okay? And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do just that.
Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean, literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know, it doesn't get more comfortable than Croc clogs and sandals. They're just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Some say Titanic is the best gay nightclub in the city, and those people are me.
And me. So set sail with this kooky crazy off-Broadway hit and get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.
Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com.